439, you've got Downtown live at Seasons 427 Main Street, Bangor, at our Quality Jewelers broadcast studios. Rich Kimble, Brian Stackpole. And on the Tiller and Rye telephone line, here to talk some New England Patriots football, Kevin Duffy of MassLive.com. Kevin, good afternoon.
Hey, guys. Good afternoon. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. I've been waiting, waiting for Roger Goodell. I probably shouldn't hold my breath based on how things are going.
Yeah, I mean, today he said there's no timetable after 2 weeks ago saying that the ruling would come soon. So who really knows what that means? I think it's going to come this week. My prediction, I would say, would be Thursday afternoon. But that's just a total shot in the dark. I mean, if it comes Thursday, I think that will be a month to the day that it's taken, which seems like a long time. But if you look at some of the other high-profile appeals, it's really not that much longer than what some of the others took. Ray Rice's took 23 days. Josh Gordon's last August took 22 days. So it's just a little beyond that. I think once it starts getting into like training camp and it's unresolved, then you can really start to say, like, really what's going on here.
Well, you wrote about it in a column. What is Roger waiting for? What are the possibilities?
Well, I said I think I outlined three scenarios that he's waiting for. One is that I think the NFL, throughout this whole thing, if you look at the timeline, has really tried to capitalize on the enormity of the news, basically. Like, they haven't really tried to, everyone refers to, like, the Friday afternoon news dump. They haven't done any of that. They've really, I mean, in the week leading up to the Super Bowl, in the 2 weeks, they leaked a different story every day, pretty much. And if you kind of examine what the stories were, the leaks had to be coming from the league office. So basically, my point was that the league really spun this into a much, much bigger story than it should have been. Whether you believe the Patriots are guilty or innocent, this story really spiraled out of control, and a lot of that has to do with how the league handled it. The second reason I said he could be waiting, I believe, would be to kind of not screw over the Patriots, but the longer he waits, the tougher training camp's going to be. If you're Bill Belichick and you don't know who your week one starter is at the beginning of training camp, how are you going to divvy up the reps between Brady and Jimmy Garoppolo? It's going to be a difficult task for him. And thirdly, he might be waiting because he might not know what to do. I don't believe that's the case. He probably, in his mind, knows what he's going to do right now. But there could be part of him that has just looked at this whole thing and how poorly the NFL has handled it. And I think he might realize that he's going to face criticism almost no matter what he does with this appeal.
Now, the NFLPA has already said if there's any suspension, they will fight it tooth and nail, take it to a federal court if necessary. Tom Brady hasn't come out and publicly said that, though. What do you think of the theory that some have had out there that Roger Goodell is purposely waiting until as close to the start of camp as possible with the idea that once Brady gets into football mode, he'll be less likely to want to fight this in court?
Yeah, that could be possible, too. I do think Brady has a decision to make, if that's the case. If Goodell drops it to one game, even two games, and if I were Tom Brady, I'd think long and hard about just kind of accepting it and moving on. I don't exactly know how Tom Brady's thinking, so, you know, maybe that's not an option for him, but there's positives to just letting this go. And you know, you take your two games and maybe the Pats go 1-1 and whatever. I mean, you're fine, you're back in, you're 14 games to play and this whole thing is behind you. Or if you drag it out, I mean, you could get an injunction to play all 16 games in the regular season this year, but you would still kind of have this looming, and then it would be a thing people talk about next offseason, and I don't know if he wants that. I mean, maybe he doesn't care, but I do think it's not an automatic go to court if it gets knocked down to one or two games. I think you would have to really consider just accepting it.
We're talking with Kevin Duffy of Mass Live. Well, let's talk about training camp gets underway in a little more than a week or so. What are some of the battles? Are there some important battles out there for positions on this team going into the season?
Yeah, there's a bunch. The most notable one that people will really be talking about is the third down back to replace Shane Vereen. I don't know if that's the most important one, but it's probably the most notable just because it's a skill position and, you know, for fantasy football implications and things like that. People are obviously very interested in the skill positions. The one that will probably impact them the most as a team is what happens at both guard spots. Dan Connolly, unsigned, has retired. Ryan Wendell is back. But you drafted two guys in Trey Jackson and Shaq Mason in the fourth round. And Cameron Fleming also reportedly has gotten some guard work in this offseason. So there's kind of it's not as unsettled as it was a year ago, where it took them 4 weeks to figure out what five were going to be on the O-line. But you need to tighten up those interior positions. So to me, the guard battle is going to have the biggest impact on what happens with the 2015 Patriots.
Now, they really didn't address the needs, especially on the defensive side, all that much in the draft. Do you think we'll see Bill Belichick bring some guys into camp this summer?
Defensively, maybe cornerback? I'm not really sure who's out there that could help them. It's possible they could, but I think they're pretty much going to roll with what they have. They might have some scheme changes, might have to play more cover two, more zone. Last year, you pretty much played cover one. McCourty took the deep part of the field, and then you had basically playing man with Revis and Browner. So that luxury is going to be gone, but the Patriots would not have let Kyle Arrington go. They would not have even let Brandon Browner go. I'm not necessarily referring to Revis because he was so expensive, but they wouldn't have let some of those guys walk if they didn't have a general idea of how they're going to play defense this year. So we're going to find out, I think, as we get into some preseason games, and maybe this kind of situation is like the offensive line last year. Maybe it takes them a few weeks in the regular season to figure out which two guys are going to even start at corner. You know, there's between Malcolm Butler, Logan Ryan, Bradley Fletcher, Robert McClain. I mean, there are guys there, but there's no one who is a surefire thing. So that's another thing to monitor as we get ready for training camp.
Do you think any of the rookies, any of the guys drafted this year, are the type that can have an immediate impact?
I think Malcolm Brown is going to. He's probably going to not necessarily take over all of Vince Wilfork's snaps from last year, but that's a guy who, at 32, I don't know if the Patriots were expecting him to be there. He's a pretty NFL-ready guy. You know, he's got great size, 6'2", 319. He can get upfield, 6.5 sacks last year, I think 15.5 tackles for loss. So, yeah, I do. You know, when you draft someone in the first round, you generally expect them to have an immediate impact. What happened last year with Dominic Easley, just given his knee situation, kind of prevented that from happening. But I do think Malcolm Brown would be that guy. And then you look at the other kind of defensive guys they took. Jordan Richards, we don't know how much he's going to play. He's got to beat out Patrick Chung to really get on the field as a strong safety. And then I think Trey Flowers, fourth-round pick, is a really productive college player. But unfortunately for him, he's kind of stuck behind a lot of bodies at defensive end. You obviously have Chandler Jones, Ninkovich, Jabal Sheer, who they signed. So he might not have that big of an impact only because he might not get that many snaps. So I would say Malcolm Brown is the guy at that group.
Kevin, are you worried at all that Rob Gronkowski's disappointing performance on Family Feud can impact his play this year?
Unfortunately, I haven't seen it yet, which is bad in the air. Probably being a beat writer for the team, I probably should have watched Family Feud, but I had seen like the 30-second clip where they asked him like the deflated question, and then I just didn't watch the whole thing. So
yeah, you've seen enough. I think you saw all there was to see. Yeah, it was not impressive.
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, Kevin, it's great talking with you. Hopefully there'll be some news. So you think Thursday's the day. We're going to circle that. So when it happens, we're going to give you all the credit.
All right, Thursday at 1:12 p.m. That's my prediction.
All right, you heard it here. Kevin Duffy of Mass Live. Great talking with you, Kevin. We'll catch up again soon.
All right, thanks, Rich.
12 minutes ago till the top of the hour. It's Downtown. Still to come with the program, college football expert Phil Steele previews the coming season. Dennis